sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. The Islanders stay alive in the playoff race in overtime.
Bailey, right wing over the Predator line to the high slot. Leaves it for Thomas Hickey. Shoots and scores! Thomas Hickey has done it again! He gives the Islanders the 2-1 overtime lead! And they win it and live to fight another night! It's his fifth career overtime game-winning goal!
Chris King with a call on the Islanders radio network. They do stay alive. And come up with a big goal late. All right, the Phillies. Of course, we have them here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Matt Leon from Philadelphia joins us. I think, Matt, I think they're on track for that 161-1 we were hoping for.
Good to be with you.
Too optimistic?
I don't know. They might lose two or three. Well, you got to figure after they clinched, you know, when they're resting guys, it won't be quite the same.
That's true. You know, I didn't really figure that part in.
Yeah, you got to think big picture, Steve. You know that.
Yeah. So I was saying to one of the coaches earlier, I said, you know, the process is not easy, okay? The process, like, people think the process is fun. Not fun. Now, the end result's fun when it works out, but the process, oh, there are moments where the process stinks. Let's face it. The Phillies are in a process right now. But I want, and I've asked you this a couple of times. It's the beginning of the season. Gauge me the fans. How are they with the process? Because the Phillies, a lot of times fans latch on to something that's young.
Yeah, and it's an interesting situation here because if you look at the last 5 years of this organization, the fan base was ready to rebuild, genuinely ready to rebuild, 2 years before the front office was. So you've had a group that was desperate, really, in 2013, 2014, for them to turn the thing over and start anew. So now that they finally have done that the last couple of years here, people are on board because I think people really like the direction that Matt Klentak has taken as a GM. And it is also easier to be patient when there's tons of talent rolling through the organization. But the fans are on board. The fans really like Pete McCann, the manager. That helps a lot as far as being the guy that talks to the cameras every day after the game. And I think the fans can see tangible results. They can see tangibly that this group is getting better, that the talent base is getting better, and it also, once again, helps. You only have to go up the Northeast Extension to go to Lehigh Valley and see all the talent at AAA, or go an hour west out to Reading and see all the talent at AA. So fans can see it. They're excited about it, and they're on board.
Who's at Lehigh Valley right now that is going to bear watching that you think that before the All-Star break might have a shot of being with the big club?
I mean, I think there's a possibility J.P. Crawford could be here.
Yeah.
I think there's a possibility one of the outfielders, and probably Nick Williams or Roman Quinn. They've got Dylan Cousins there, who hit a ton of home runs last year at AA. I don't think he is a guy you'll see this year, maybe until September, but he's definitely someone to keep an eye on. Some of the pitchers, Jake Thompson, who pitched a lot here the second half of last season. There's a lot of guys that are going to be knocking on the door. And you got to remember, this is the group, Reading for a long time last season at AA had the best record in baseball, period, anywhere. The core of that group is now at Lehigh Valley. So I would expect a lot of success there. As far as, who you see first, I think a lot of it is going to depend on health and who really breaks out of AAA. Because another great thing about the situation the Phillies are in, they don't have to rush any of these guys. You know, there's no people kind of understand it. I think the Phillies have done a nice job of band-aiding a lot of positions with veterans that are on short-term deals that they can afford to let guys kind of work through things, get 500 at bats at the AAA level before they can bring them up here. because you've still got a kid like Aaron Altair here on the major league level that fans are excited to see play a more regular role over the course of the season. So there's a lot of depth there, and they're in a situation where they can wait for basically guys at AAA to demand by their production and their play a call up to the bigs.
Who on the current club that's young that you are really interested in? Now, give me a couple, three names that you're interested to see if they can make the next step. Who would that be?
One is the guy pitching tonight, Jared Eichhoff, yep. who was probably their most consistent pitcher last year. Mm-hmm. I think he has the potential to be a 15 to 17 win guy consistently. He's got a bulldog mentality. The best part of him, of his makeup, is his makeup. More than his stuff. He is a guy that almost, I feel like, pitches better with first and second, nobody out, than he does with two outs and nobody on. Just has that I'm not going to let you beat me type of attitude. Another one I'm fascinated by is Tommy Joseph, who really, really provided a lot of power last year at first base, was inconsistent, kind of swung wildly, really hot, really cold. If he could develop some consistency and continue to hit the ball out of the ballpark, he could be a big key. And then I think you look at the middle infield and you look at Cesar Hernandez at second, Freddie Galvis at shortstop. J.P. Crawford is going to be the shortstop, barring, you know, him not being what everyone in baseball thinks he's going to be. Mm-hmm. So right now that would leave one of those two guys probably to play second base. Now Galvis can play second.
I've seen him.
Without a problem. Yeah. But is Galvis hits the ball out of the ballpark, but he is not nearly as consistent as Hernandez at the plate. Freddie's great defensively wherever you put him. Cesar is average. Cesar's got more speed, but Freddie's a better base runner. Cesar will drive you nuts with mistakes he makes on the bases. So that's something else that's interesting, because I think when you look, kind of short-term big picture, it would appear that Galvis and Hernandez are playing for one everyday job at second base, so it'll see how that plays out over the summer.
A couple quick Eagles points. Let's talk about the Jernigan trade. What did you think of that?
I like it.
I think
it's great. You know, he's in his final year, and I guess it was obvious the Ravens weren't going to pay him, and reading some stuff out of Baltimore, he had fallen out of favor the second half of the season last year, but I think you bring in a talented young kid on a short term, you know, basically playing for a contract, and you see how it fits, and all it costs you is moving down in the third round. I don't think that's the end of the world. I really like what Howie Roseman's done this offseason. I've been quite critical of him over the years, but I think they've had a good offseason.
I also think the Nick Foles move was a good, smart backup quarterback move.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of corrected the mistake from last year with Chase Daniel, who signing Daniel wasn't a mistake necessarily in the abstract, but giving him all the money they did was just absurd. I always said last year with the Eagles, it was like they needed a quarterback, and they brought three guys into the office, and they told each of them, I need you to go out and find me a quarterback, but whatever you do, don't tell the other two what you're doing. So one guy comes back and says, I extended Sam Bradford. The other guy says, I signed Chase Daniel. The other guy says, I traded the house to get up to draft Carson Wentz. Individually, all the moves are fine. You put all three of them together, none of it made sense. So they've corrected that, and I agree with you. Nick Foles obviously knows what he's getting into here in Philadelphia, having started his career here. He's a good professional backup NFL quarterback, and he'll be fine.
Always a pleasure, Matt. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
Matt Leon from KYW in Philadelphia. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth.
The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
It's racing season and track and field season, so Elite Feet has all your trainers, performance shoes, and track and field spikes. Elite Feet will fit you in the proper shoe to keep you running strong all year long. Bring your teammates and parents and shop together to get your spikes and trainers during one of the extended hour spike nights at Elite Feet. Both the Danville and Montoursville locations will be hosting spike nights. Check out Elite Feet's Facebook page or website at elitefeetinc.com for dates and times of their spike nights for each location. That's Elite Feet at 836 Broad Street, Montoursville, and 296 Mill Street in Danville. Elite Feet. Keeping you in motion.
You get in your car, start it up, and press the gas. And from your phone, you hear, and you respond. And then in your rear view, OMG, it's a COP. And then you learn that a ticket for texting and driving is nothing to LOL about. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
It's racing season and track and field season, so Elite Feet has all your trainers, performance shoes, and track and field spikes. Elite Feet will fit you in the proper shoe to keep you running strong all year long. Bring your teammates and parents and shop together to get your spikes and trainers during one of the extended hour spike nights at Elite Feet. Both the Danville and Montoursville locations will be hosting spike nights. Check out Elite Feet's Facebook page or website at elitefeetinc.com for dates and times of their spike nights for each location. That's Elite Feet at 836 Broad Street, Montoursville, and 296 Mill Street in Danville. Elite Feet. Keeping you in motion.
It's all about smiles with Dr. Jenkins and his staff and his grateful dental patients.
I really like the girls that are here. They treat you so nice, and it's just like you're part of a family, and that makes you feel comfortable because they make you feel relaxed.
When I come into Dr. Jenkins' office, it's like a second family. I'm immediately surrounded by people who care. Everybody knows you by name. It's completely warm.
Doctor and the staff here are wonderful, and I'm so glad that I decided to come here. Everybody treats you like you're one of the family and seem excited about what they can do for you and what your teeth look like when they're done, and they really care about what they're doing here. And I was really worried, but they were really nice here, and they made me feel relaxed.
I've enjoyed coming here. The staff at Dr. Jenkins is wonderful. Everyone is so kind and gentle and so patient. It's just a wonderful experience.
24 years of dentistry. Dr. Carl Jenkins in Watsontown. Visit us at smilesbyjenkins.com.
All right, everybody, let's do it again. Well, one more time.
You like this bump there, Steve?
No, I'm just trying to cover up the foul ball.
Nicely played.
Okay. Let's get everybody on board here. Great to have you with us. We were talking earlier about Jason Stark's article on ESPN.com about where are the stars in baseball. And, you know, there are a lot of young players that have great star quality. Young players like Noah Syndergaard, Bryce Harper, Mike Trout, Manny Machado. There's actually a really good list. You know, Chris Bryant. They were talking about why isn't the All-American guy like Mike Trout more the face of baseball? There are a couple reasons why. Number one, he's never won a postseason game. He's only been to the postseason one time. So not only is he's never won a postseason game, that also means he's never been to the World Series, never been on the biggest stage. That's part of it. And another part of it happens to be is that, you know, he's had a lot of invitations to be on talk shows like Jimmy Kimmel and Jimmy Fallon and so forth. He's always turned them down. And they just went through something that I think a lot of people, I think, enjoyed in the end because the U.S. did so well. I mean, that's a big part of it. But the World Baseball Classic, you know, Mike Trout didn't play in it. Now, which is the choice of the players. Major League Baseball, the Players Association, according to Jason's article, wants to promote individual stars. And I guess Major League Baseball, like the entity of Major League Baseball, they don't want to do it. They don't want to do it. And that's, they want to promote teams. They want to promote the ballpark and things like that. They don't want to promote individual stars. The NBA, and there's another element to this as well. And it has to do with the college game being a big assist. When it comes to the NFL, let's take a look at the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott. Well, everybody in the Southeastern Conference already knew about Dak Prescott. And I think even and college football fans, beyond the casual fan, knew who Dak Prescott was. Ezekiel Elliott was known by everybody, casual fans, diehard fans, and so forth, before even carrying the ball once in the NFL. Even Carson Wentz, despite playing at North Dakota State, had drawn enough interest, not only from his career, but the way the draft is covered. There are so many mock drafts when it comes to the NFL that people get to know who the players are. They hear Leonard Fournette, for example, has dropped 12 pounds. I was on a talk show last Sunday in Seattle because they wanted to know all they could know about Chris Godwin. And that's a big difference in the apparatus of the NFL. Is that college does a good job of, for the most part, setting the foundation for future stars. They play well in college. They get some notoriety in college. People are here. They see them. They watch them. Then they get notoriety by going through the draft, and they get to the league, and people have a pretty good handle. They were really excited to see fill in blank. And then if fill in blank happens to fulfill the potential, then it just keeps going. Basketball isn't quite the same. Obviously, LeBron James came in with great fanfare as a high school player. But Steph Curry lit up everything at Davidson and running the NCAA tournament. They got them to the Elite Eight, and suddenly everybody in the country knew who Steph Curry was, and they were excited to see what he could do on the next level. Even though it's a one-and-done, people had seen Kevin Durant at Texas before going to Seattle, then, of course, to Oklahoma City when the franchise moved. I mean, people have already seen these people. Jordan played 3 years at North Carolina. Isaiah Thomas played 2 at Indiana. Larry Bird played 4 at Indiana State. Magic Johnson played 2 at Michigan State. Bird was in the Final Four championship game. Magic went to the Final Four, won it. Jordan had 3 great years, won the title. Isaiah won a title. Lonzo Ball's coming out of college. Everybody knows who he is. Before he even gets on an NBA court, a lot of people already know who Lonzo Ball is. In baseball, you have to really kind of wind your way through the anonymity to get yourself to the show. I think a lot of people had heard of Chris Bryant before he got to the Cubs because there was so much hoopla around him dealing whether the Cubs should start the season with him on the roster or whether they should play the game and wait, what, 9-10 days or something like that, so he could keep him an extra year, which is what they did. So that did bring with it some publicity around it. But before Mike Trout got to the Angels and started doing what Mike Trout does, how much did you hear about him? Bryce Harper's a little different. First overall pick in the draft. Quickly got to the Nationals. Okay, so people knew about him. But everybody else, I mean, Nolan Arenado, how much do you really know about him? Hey, Orioles fans know a lot about Manny Machado. Casual fans know some. But again, there wasn't this working your way through. I mean, they're in the system. They're buried in small towns. I mean, there are 8 Pirates that started their career with the State College Spikes. Well, I mean, a lot of people who follow baseball know State College is the home of Penn State, don't really think of State College as the home of the, what was that point, the Pirates affiliate, now the Cardinals affiliate. Same thing with Williamsport. Though Williamsport will get some notoriety this summer on that August 20th game between the Pirates and the Cardinals, which I think is a great move by the major leagues. To go in and play a game in that place, that's great.
The other problem that Major League Baseball, like, I just think, I think it's largely viewed as just an old, slow game, and the proof is in their attitude towards it. I mean, you mentioned Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper came out with all kinds of flair, all kinds of gusto, all kinds of attitude that really turned a lot of young people on, and then baseball shut him up and told him he was being too flashy or too much attitude or showing up his pitchers or whatever. And that's exactly the problem. On top of the fact that baseball is just a slow game. You're talking about NFL where action, somebody's getting crushed every play. Even hockey, somebody's getting crushed every play. Basketball, somebody's getting dunked on or hitting a three every play. Baseball, you're going to get a home run jacked every once in a while. I think people will watch playoff baseball because it's more intense. But during the regular season, it's regional. Unless you love the teams you're watching, you're not watching it. Young people aren't, for sure.
Well, ESPN's ratings in the NBA for the regular season are not very good. I mean, they just aren't. Now, where they make up for it is that the ratings in the playoffs are very, very good. They really are. But the regular season ratings for NBA basketball on ESPN, not really that great. For them, the payoff is what happens in May and in June. That's where the payoff comes for them, where they make their money back, and they make it back in ratings. And the ratings for the finals are great. So all these sports, except for the NFL, are regional in nature. Mm-hmm. We have Bob Grove on today about the Penguins. Well, the Penguins make an occasional national appearance. But people watch them. They watch them on Root Sports. They'll watch the Flyers on CSN. Sixers, same thing. Phillies. I mean, the Phillies don't make that many national appearances, but Philly fans here get to watch every game. The only one that's truly national in scope is the National Football League, and in some ways, college football. Every game in the Big Ten is a nationally televised game. You realize that?
Absolutely, but I think the main point with baseball is that it's not the problem with this whole article and this whole thing is that it's not just one aspect. There are many, many issues, and I just think it might be as simple as time has passed baseball by.
Well, you know what? There is a place for a slower game in a fast-paced world, but they have to understand to pick up the pace in the slower-paced game. So they don't drag it down to the point where it's too slow. That's why pitch clocks and things like that are something they're considering. I'm a big believer in speeding up the game by making sure that the batter keeps one foot in the box at all times.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on this Wednesday, which based on the Philly schedule is the last day you have to put up with me for the week. It's great to have everybody on board. Football team will practice today, and then they'll go at it again on Saturday. And 2 weeks from Saturday will be the blue-white game at Beaver Stadium. And if the weather is like it is today, the door is open to the possibility of maybe getting 70,000 to 80,000 fans in for that game. I know James wants 107. I understand that. All right, let's get to the sports bozo of the day. And it goes to Kentucky fans. They continue to harass referee John Higgins. Now, he's finally been able to get a call block on his business phone for any number from the state of Kentucky, the Commonwealth of Kentucky. Okay? But he also has a business. And, of course, when you have a business, people can go online on Facebook or whatever, and they can rate your business. Well, his business had, I guess, out of five, like a 4.7 or 8 rating. And now it turns out that the rating is down to 1.8.
Oh, my God.
Because they've been, and this is just in 2 weeks.
That's terrible.
I'm just saying, but this is what people do.
What is this, Brazil? Take it easy.
I mean, hey, it's Kentucky basketball. And, I mean, I have a very simple solution for Kentucky basketball, that if Monk and Fox, who combined for 60 points in the Sweet 16, had scored maybe more than 23 combined against North Carolina, they probably would have won. You'd be amazed what hitting shots means.
Wait, you mean in a basketball game they need to put the basket in the hole?
Put the ball in the hole.
Oh,
you'd be amazed at what that means to do something like that. It's not a call made by an official. I mean, I talked about the championship game the other night. I mean, the hell ball with 53 seconds left. They totally botched it because Kennedy Meeks is out of bounds.
Right.
All right, you know, the Braves have opened a new ballpark, and a big issue is parking. So they brought in Allen Iverson, of all people, to help them out with their parking situation and a commercial.
Wow, since I've done one of these.
It's been 7 years since you retired.
Are you making a comeback?
You funny, man.
I noticed the Braves hat. Are you a fan?
Definitely. I've been a Braves fan since I was little.
What do you think of the new ballpark?
I got a tour a while back. Sum it up. It was great. I had a great time.
We've heard parking may be an issue.
Parking? The best franchise in all of baseball. And we're in here talking about parking. What are we talking about? I know we're not talking about parking.
Is it going to be a hassle to get to these games?
Got 14,000 spaces. This was a joke.
It's an important issue to the fans.
I know it's important. But we worried about parking. Not the game, but parking. Look, I know they got a plan. Man.
One more question, Iverson.
That's the Braves' new commercial about their parking. They brought in Allen Iverson to do it.
Fantastic.
A little different. Let's bring in my brother. He and I both know the hassles of parking.
Mm-hmm. How's it going?
Doing all right. How about you?
I'm doing good. Something to go off on what you're talking about, fans. Did you follow up at all on that Lexi Thompson thing?
We did. We talked about that. And I think, now, number one, players do get loose on putting the ball down near the mark. But if anybody wants to know how many times I've seen pass interference on replay, how many times I've seen holding on replay, how many times I've seen fouls on replay, okay? Fans should watch the game. They should not officiate the game.
So why do they allow it? I watched it live. You know, Claire was there. Hi, Claire. Hi, Yodi. Hi, Missy. Hi, Auntie Jackie. Hi, Uncle Dave. They all listen. So anyway, she had a meeting to go to, so there was nothing on TV. So I put the golf on, and it was exciting. This kid got screwed. She got screwed. And that girl who won, if she had any dignity when they were in the overtime, the extra hole, she'd have turned and fired the ball over the trees. And then she'd have turned them when they gave her a penalty drop, fire it over the clubhouse. There's no way she should have won that golf tournament. Not when Lexi had four strokes better than her. And golf, that's a landslide. She did not. I can't believe she played the last hole to win. Because Lexi, the girl saw the tape before she went out, and she goes, "Oh my God." You know, and she knew how screwed Lexi got screwed. And, like, what's her name, the commentator? I forgot her name.
Judy Rankin?
Yeah. She said, you know, there's 200 golfers start a golf tournament, and there's cameras on about 8 of them. The rest of them are doing whatever they want.
That's true.
Yeah, and Phil Mickelson came out, and he said, that happens all the time. And for them to call her out the next day, it's like, God. And then the other question
it's more than that. They told her with 6 holes to play.
Well, I know. On the fairway.
What bothers me, there's two areas that bother me. Number one, you don't tell them with 6 holes to play. A competitor should know when the day begins what they have to do.
Exactly.
But the other part is that when the round was over, nobody told her, which meant she signed her scorecard. So she not only got docked 2 shots for the spot,
she got docked for the scorecard too. Wrong. Yeah, and that wasn't her. She had no idea. And this is my other problem with it.
And your playing competitor attests to your card.
Yeah, you couldn't see the ball placement on regular speed. You would have to see it in slow motion or whatever to see that, like the woman said, you could see two-thirds of your quarter, and when you put the ball down, you could see the whole quarter. Somebody replayed that. Rewound it and replayed it. Who is rewinding and replaying a 6-inch putt?
Somebody very lonely.
Some pervert is what it is, and that's where I'm going. And that for the golf community to honor that is just
bothers me all the time. You have marshals and officials out there all the time, and you have a playing competitor. Now, most playing competitors, you know, don't like getting too involved in what's going on with the person against them. But Jack Nicklaus, in his press conference yesterday, said, look, he said, there are 3 times in my lifetime where I remember I thought somebody was cheating. He didn't say loose. Mickelson used the words loose. Mm-hmm. Nicklaus was blunt. He said cheating. Right? And he said, I handled it personally, he says, and those 3 people never did it again.
Right. Oh, and a lot of golfers are police themselves. Wasn't it Dustin Johnson in the U.S. Open?
Oh, yeah, last year.
He touched his ball with the club. Nobody saw him do it. He went down and told them he did it. The golfers are very straight and honest. And that's what she said. I did not do it on purpose, you know. She didn't even know what she did. She's one tough kid. I admire her a lot.
Judy Rankin
says she'll probably be better off for this than if she won the tournament.
Yeah, we had her on the show 2 years ago.
Who, Lexi Thompson?
Yep.
Or Judy Rankin?
Lexi Thompson.
Really?
Yeah.
God, she was young then. She's only 22.
What we did was we covered the U.S. Women's Open at Lancaster Country Club. I did the entire show there. So we had on Lexi Thompson, Michelle Wee, Imbi Park. We had seven different players on. She was one of them. Paula
That's
Kramer.
A good interview.
Paula Kramer.
Yep.
So
I just really fell for her, and she sucked it up. I mean, she was emotional, she was upset, but she sucked it up. She birdied the next two holes and got herself tied again. And then she birdied
18. Yeah, I know. It shouldn't have happened that way. You feel like something was taken from her. I mean, if she did something deliberately, which obviously she did not.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's different. Completely different.
Yeah.
This was a 6-inch hockey stick tap in. And for whatever reason, she marked her ball, you know?
Yeah.
And it didn't matter where she put it, you know?
Right.
She's just going to tap it in. And that, I just, my God, to wait 24 hours and then tell her on the 13th fairway, hey, guess what? And she just bogeyed a hole, so she just lost a stroke. Yeah, guess what? You lost four more too. Like, huh?
I don't agree. Number one, with fans calling in. I mean, that's why you have officials and people who run the thing. And once a ruling is made, and if nothing came up to her before the round began, to me, you cannot dock competitors in the middle of a round for something that happened in a previous round. In other words,
there should be a statute of limitation, whatever that hourly is or whatever.
Nobody changed the Colorado-Missouri final score when Colorado used five downs to get in.
No, you're right. Yep. And everyone knew it was wrong, you know. But that's the way it goes. That's part of the game. It got called. Anyway, I had to get that off my chest. So it was really bugging me.
I watched her play 18, and I watched the playoff. So I actually did watch some of it because I had heard of what happened, and I thought, this is... The part about golf fans calling in, I remember the first time it happened was Craig Stadler put a towel down and put his knee down. They hit a shot under a pine tree.
And that's illegal.
That's illegal. Right? And a fan called in, said, you know, and he got docked. He goes, what? What are you talking about? He said, some fan called it. That's the first time I remember that happening. And that, to me, set a bad precedent, a very bad precedent.
Yep.
Where, I mean, because if you want to sit there and talk about plays, I don't know, 2003 Penn State-Ohio State game, the pass to Hartsock over the middle, the one that bounced off the ground and came back up and he caught it and he ruled it a catch.
Yep.
I think every fan on replay saw that was the wrong call. The other night, I think we all should have called in on the held ball between Gonzaga and Kennedy Meeks with 53 seconds to go. Because guess what?
Yep.
Kennedy Meeks is out of bounds. His right hand is clearly out of bounds. Not on the line, but over the line and out of bounds. Because he was trying to balance himself. Right. I think we all should have called in. It should be Gonzaga ball. But, you know, golf did this thing with Stadler, and it's not the last time it's happened. The second they did that, it set a dangerous precedent for the game in terms of how the game is officiated.
You should just ignore the people. It's easy. Ignore them. You know, what are they going to do? Go social media? Who cares? You know, screw that. I really felt for the kid, but she showed how tough she was. And
yeah, she did. She'll win a Grammy. She's won a major.
I understand competition. I understand there's a lot of money involved. I understand. Because they interviewed that girl afterwards. She goes, I feel like something's missing.
Yeah.
You didn't win.
Right. She knows. She knows she didn't win.
The name of the game is to cover however many rounds with the least amount of shots. And you weren't even close to her. You didn't deserve to win. Right. And you probably mismarked your ball four times during that thing. It's just nobody saw it. So a mismark, a quarter of an inch on a six-inch putt. Just crazy. Anyway, we wouldn't be talking about it if she had won. So
that's true. But you know what? But it does bring up a point. I want fans watching the game. I want them actively involved in games. The energy they put in a stadium or an arena is unbelievable. Obviously, the fans being involved, watching on TV, the ratings, great. Mm-hmm. But I don't want fans changing results. It's not your job. It's not your job to change the result. It's up to the officials and the players to change the result, not the fan.
The officials are part of the game. If they miss a call, they miss a call. That's always been any sport. Hey, bad call, boo the ref. Strike three, the ball was 5 inches outside, you know? Oh, well, he made the call. What are you going to do, you know? I mean, umpires have umpire's got a different strike zone, you know?
If you're a Kentucky basketball fan, you drive down the rating of John Higgins' business. That's what you do about it.
Only Kentucky.
Oh, God.
I feel for the ref, but I'm glad they lost.
I've talked to John a few times in my lifetime. He's okay. He's a decent enough guy. Yeah. But welcome to another year.
You hit the nail right on the head. Any team will tell you one play does not make the game. You know, there's a whole, like you said, if they hit their shots, you're not talking about the one call. You know?
Of course not. And I've talked about this forever and ever. Look, let's just, in a basketball game, there are, I mean, Kentucky in that game had, I think, 74 possessions. Right? Well, if they have a better result on one of the 74 possessions instead of a miss, they win the game.
Yep.
Okay? Yep. Football game, there are 150 plays, 160 plays in a game. Five of them determine the outcome. And for all we know, it could be play 3, play 50, play 70, play 90, or play 120. You don't know which one of the five plays it is. So.
Well, I mean, referee calls will kill anybody. One of the worst calls I've ever seen, that kid for Penn State who got thrown out of the game for the fragrant penalty.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot who they were playing. And the Big Ten overturned it, you know, because he was going for the ball. He didn't even hit the guy in the head.
Right, but Brandon Smith.
It's part of the sport. You just accept it and you move on, you know. But you don't say, hey, the next day, well, we're going to change. You guys are going to play again. You know? It doesn't make it. And it seems like a very easy rule to change. Because they said if this had been a year or 2 years ago, she'd have been disqualified.
Yeah, she would have. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, she would have been disqualified.
That part of it.
Well, no, I mean, here's the rule. Here's the rule I would change. Right. Bob from Lawrence, Kansas, is calling. He's holding on one. Right. The rule change I would make is tell Bob to keep holding. I really don't care what Bob has to say.
Because
we're not changing. Hey, all right. Have a good week.
You too.
All right. We're going to wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Hey, Hey, good to have you here today. Another great job by you.
Hey, thank you. Good to have you here, too.
Company seemed to prefer it. Yeah. And great to have everybody on board listening, as always. We appreciate that very much. Thanks to Bob Grove, who joined us from Penguins. A long time he's been with the Penguins Network. Matt Leon from Philadelphia. We talked a little bit about the Phillies today and about the Eagles. And my brother, Ed Henry, Fox News, the chief national correspondent for Fox News, is going to join us on Monday. And we're going to talk about a book that came out this week, 42 Faith. Next week is the 70th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. Ed Henry explores it from a different point of view. Stories that have not been told about Jackie Robinson or Branch Rickey. We'll talk to him about that on the show on Monday. We're looking forward to it very, very much. Phillies baseball in this spot tomorrow and Friday. Enjoy your fightings. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.